Christians. One time his bailiff asked him, he says, you know, Your Honor, if you've already made the decision, why are you letting them go on like that? He said, so the lawyers can make their money. Like that, yeah. And nobody ever objected to his decisions like that. So then in the afternoon, he was in charge of the administration of the Puri Temple, which is a very big responsibility like that. And then in the evening, he would go home and have a little rice and sabji, take a little rest. And when all the rest of his family members were taking rest, he would wake up. And all night long, he was writing, answering letters, writing different commentaries on different, you know, scriptures like that, and unlimited activities like that. Then sometime in the morning, he would take a little nap before breakfast, one pint of hot milk, some chapatis and fruit. And he had, I don't know how many children also. So, very, not an ordinary human being. So he wrote so many songs. This bibliography of his writings is about maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 pages of all the things he produced like that. Beautiful poetry, music, philosophy, like that. So one song he did was very short, actually. It's a little description of Vrindavan, describing Radha and Madhava, right? And Krishna is consorting with the gopis, you know? And he's the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He's enlivening all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Without Krishna, there's no life in Vrindavan. You know, when Krishna goes in the forest every day, maybe you go to some store, you try to buy something, the person is talking to you, but you know his mind is someplace else. So, so when you go to Vrindavan during the daytime, everybody's mind is someplace else. They have no minds in the daytime. But then somebody comes running, he's, well, we all coming and taking something from Krishna, from Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is sending some special, you know, lunch, snack, you know, like that. Oh, Krishna forgot this, that. So people are going back and forth. Where are the boys now? They're down by this riverbank. That happened, you know. Something happened. Oh, you know. So always, you know, hearing news from so many sources. And then when Krishna comes home in the evening, everybody wakes up. They come back to their consciousness. They run to meet him. The calves are running to see their mothers. And the cowherd boys are covered with dust and, you know, playing all day. And their mothers want to bathe them and hear what happened, you know. They don't want to hear what happened for their children. They want to hear what happened with Krishna. But they want to hear it through their children. So like this are different ways to approach Krishna. Yeah. Just like you can see the moon, right? How many people here have seen the moon? No? Raise your hand. No, you haven't seen the moon? Okay. Yeah. But if you have a telescope, okay, you can see it closer, you know. So this is a guru. Guru doesn't show you, you know, when you approach guru, you discover that God is actually a pink rhinoceros. No, it's the same thing, but it's better. You know? So therefore, obviously, you accept, you know, this relationship. And we go refining it more and more. So yeah, one nice song, which is we were chanting. It was a very nice song, memorized. It's a complete meditation. How many know Hanuman Prasad Poddar? You know? He's a famous guy in India, right? Yeah. He established Gita Press. He also was one of the big people who developed the Mathura temple like that with Malviya, Anand Prasad Badar, Malviya, and Birla, I think, did it. And so during his life, he was a very, very spiritual person. You know, during his life, he, you know, three times, he's saying he actually, you know, saw Krishna like that. And the form he saw, he called Madhava. Like that, Madhava, Radha Madhava. So many forms, Gopijana Balaba, Giri Varyadari, Yashodanandana. So Radha Madhava. And he had an artist try and draw it, and he said, look like this, like that, like this, like that. Ah, yes, that's what he looked like. You know. So before our Guru Maharaj, the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, can you come closer? Or pass. Don't worry, we're vegetarian. Like that. You only eat Brahmins under 40 pounds. just made it. Yeah. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada was trying to publish his Bhagavatam and do preaching in the order of his Guru Maharaj. So he visited Hanuman Prasad Poddar, and he said, actually, I'm kind of a renowned fellow now. I don't have much money. I'm not involved with the management for the press. But as far as I know, all their funds are occupied for some time like that in different, you know, publishing plans. But it's this wonderful book, this Bhagavatam you've written, the English version. So here's 500 rupees, which at that time, I guess, about 1967 or something, was a considerable quantity for a sadhu. This is all I have, so you please take this. And here's the address of a press in Delhi, which has always helped us very much in the letter of introduction. I think it was the OK Press at that, yeah. So Prabhupada went there and they said, oh yes, of course we'll help you. Just we'll take charge the bare minimum. You can assemble the things yourself. We'll show you as much as you can do yourself. And Swamiji, and we'll help you. So because of that, you know, we have this, you know, the Bhagavatams, you know. So Prabhupada went back to India with his followers, and now he had his dancing white elephants, right, and, you know, took success. And he was traveling. They visited Gorakhpur, and the Gita Press said, Swamiji, just stay here forever. Here's a whole house you can use. Make this your base in India. So he said, all right, we'll stay at least some time. You know, thank you. Where is Hanuman Prasapodar? Oh, he's very sick. He's, you know, very, very sick. He's up in the second story there. So the description is Prabhupada went there, and Hanuman Prasapodar tried to, like, get up, and because right in the public, because he was impossible. He said, no, like that, you know? And he couldn't even really talk. So he was, like, lying here, his head propped up, and devotees were there. And Prabhupada was sitting there and just chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, Jap, and then Hanuman Prasapodar was listening, and every now and again he would, like, look at Prabhupada and Prabhupada. So he was just saying, you could tell it was like an exchange going on in the subtle level, like they both, you know, and, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Yeah. And you can come to that level where you're on the level of thoughts, yeah, like that, yeah. Mamanas. And so then next morning, Prabhupada, for the first time, started chanting this song. And after that, it was a regular thing. We'd always chant it before Bhagavatam class. Jaya Radha Madhava. So maybe there was some feeling, you know, for... I think the first time he did it, he also just went into a very ecstatic, you know, consciousness and was, you know, unaware of the external world for some time like that, and came back, you know, and so on. So we always chant this before our classes, especially Shrimad Bhagavatam class in the morning. And it's a very nice meditation. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopijana Balaba Girivara Gauri. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Sari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Sari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Gari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
jaya Radha-madhava Kunda-bihari. Jaya Radha-madhava Kunda-bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
She said, Radha Madhava Astasaki Ki.
Yes.
So, Prabhupada Ki.
Yes.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, this Krishna consciousness movement is established on the basis of Rupa Goswami's instructions, and he was the Prime Minister of Bengal under the government of Hussein Shah. Like that. He was a very powerful Nawab. He would conquer all the way down to Orissa, right? But then Maharaj Prataparudra was so powerful, he was able to stop him like that. Mm-hmm. Maharaj Prataparudra was also emperor of Madras. So big empires like that. So Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they were two Brahmins from the Sarasvat, right? Brahmin community. And Prabhupada says that the Muslim and the British conquerors, they liked Indian administrators because they were not extravagant. When they even fell into lusty enjoyment, it was maybe extra Italy or Wada or something like that, a little more, extra Rajagula or something. Okay. And so he saw that Rupa and Sanatan were very qualified administrators, and he came to them, one description is, and said, I want you to be the Prime Ministers of my government and manage everything very efficiently. He said, we don't want to take your service, you know, like that and stuff. And he said, well, if you don't, I will kill one Brahmin every day. He said, all right, we accept the position. Listen to your argument. You know? So they became like home minister, finance minister, different things like that. And along with their community, Hiranya and Govardhan, who were Raghunath Das Goswami's uncles, and they were managing the whole place. And we can consider there's no place in the world now as opulent as Bengal was at that time. Spices, gold, art in the sea, the Spanish word. Artifacts is kind of different like that. Things made by art. Yeah. And, medical knowledge, administration, silk, clothes, cultural, things like that, architecture. And so Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were the leaders of all of this, beautiful bungalows with ladies and gentlemen arriving and, with ivory chariots, coaches with matching horses and reception by beautiful men with big turbans and bands playing nicely and Urdu poetry and, all this mandala pati, these are the leaders of this society, But it's described of them, Chaktvaturnam Asesha Mandalapati Srenem Sadatutvat Bhutvadina Ganesha Ko Korunaya Kopina Kanta Shrita. So they kicked it all off. It's tutvat. It's very insignificant. All this, And they became mendicants, living under trees with loincloth like that. Kopina Kanta Shrita, quilted cloth, old cloth. But you can't renounce. Probably gives the example of one judge, magistrate under British rule. And out of non-cooperation, he retired early and took whatever pension he was going to get, which was very small like that. Before, he was maintaining so many servants and all this big thing, and he just lived with his wife in a little cottage. And probably said he died within 3 years because it's lack of stimulation like that. So same way they renounced all this, and living very simply, even more austere than that. One time we have one devotee, Lena. She's a Russian devotee, blonde hair, very nice. And I was describing my sannyas life. I have maybe like in the whole world, maybe like one full suitcase full of possessions. And she said, I could never live like that. If all I had was that, I would go crazy. So ladies more expanded. So even still, very difficult. Go from prime minister to renouncing all this. Chakvaturano asesha mandala pati shrenim sadatuchva bhutvadina ganesha ko koruna kopina kanta shrita. Gopi Bhav Rasamrit Abdi Lahari Kalo Lamagnam. What did they get? They got the emotional, tsunamis, waves of the coming and going of the gopis' love, for Krishna, like that. The gopis, the gopis, little girls. They're this age right here. You could be a gopi in our drama. We play that, Chandravali. Prabhupada says all the things between the gopis and Krishna, nothing is very serious, But for them, it's very important. Very important to them. But from the external view, it's like the boys and girls carrying on. So anyway, they've arranged some very, very nice, party for Krishna. It's his birthday or something. Who knows? Maybe his birthday. And they've been working very hard to find flowers to make a very beautiful little pavilion out of different colored flowers and fragrances. And they've decorated Radharani. It took 3 hours to decorate her like that. She's sitting like that, No, not there, there. A little more this way, a little more that way. The flower crown that way. No, that's not good. Replace it like that. Okay, so she's like there. And they've been cooking, all these preparations. And they've been rehearsing some songs for the whole time. And then, on and on like that. So Krishna's supposed to come at 12 o'clock. So 12 o'clock, Krishna's not there. Okay. 12:15, Krishna's not there. And 12:27, one Manjari comes running and says, I know where Krishna is. Where is he? He's eating cookies at Chandravali's house. Chandravali is Radharani's cousin, her greatest competitor. So how does Radharani react? Or else she may become humble. This overwhelmed with humility. That's because, she loves him more than we do. Or she may overcome, with this anger like that. The whole world is afraid of death. Is there anybody here who's not afraid of death? I've come close a few times, and afterwards, so what describes you some of the experiences. Okay, actually, I'm not afraid of death. Yeah, well, we'll try it. Very few people, There's only a madman. And when you sober up, you're afraid, But death personified is afraid of Krishna. Right? Death personified is coming down the road, everybody's running, and then death personified is running. Well, where are you running from? I'm running from Krishna. You see, then Krishna is running down the road, running like that. You say, well, who are you running from? Mother Yashoda. Yeah. I said, well, I'm going to run too. This woman, some tough woman. Yeah, you know, like that. It's not, it's real. It's real. You know? So, say, so, you know, all these feelings, Krishna, afraid of, you know, personified, afraid of Krishna. You know? So, when Radharani is even more intense in her relationship to Krishna and Mother Yashoda, so these feelings are just like, again, it's just like, you know, when she becomes angry, you know, the whole world is, you know, is popping out of place, running this way and that way just to get back like that. And when she's lamentation, the trees, you know, if their leaves fall off, the rocks begin to melt. It's just unbelievable like that. So Gopi Baba, Vasamrita Bilahari, they were beginning to taste this satisfaction, this deep feelings like that. You know? And so they weren't at all disturbed by that. So he renounced everything, and then Rupa Goswami then produced, I think it was 11 major works. Oh, no, 18 major works. I don't know what it is. About 11,000 verses. I remember, somebody described it. About that, 18 major works and 11,000 verses. You know? And it describes tantra, it describes, you know, music, drama, Sri Krishna Janmatithi, how to observe Janmastami for worshipping Krishna, like that. There's so much literature. He built beautiful temples, unbelievable temples in Radhagomindan Temple. Like that. So incredible. You know? And such activity there. Oof, it was unbelievable. You know? And so then he summarized everything he knew in 11 verses. Right here, like that. 11,000 verses. So when we were visiting Oxford with Radhika, remember we went there? So we're going to do some little lecture there one night. So we entitled it 3 Minutes with a Genius, right? Rupa Goswami and his followers dominated the world of, what was it, 16th century? 16th century, you know, metaphysics, like that. He was Prime Minister of Bengal, all these things like this and that. And he summarized everything he knew. In everything he knew, he summarized in 11 verses. Come tonight and spend 3 minutes with a genius. Okay. So activity like that. Wow. So it's a good poster. Still use it. You see walking down the road and you see some kind of like saintly Indian kind of guy in a black and white picture and it says 3 minutes with a genius. Yeah. This is to attract people and then satisfy them. You know. So it's 11 verses. You know, and it's not actually even specific to our tradition really. It's just, what is wisdom? What is the essence of all wisdom? You know, summarize everything like that. So after this, he wrote other books, and especially Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is like a summary. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is described as a complete science of Bhakti Yoga. The Patanjali Yoga Sutras, right? They describe his system, Yama, Niyama, Pratyahara, all these things, Asana. But Bhakti is even more scientific, you know, to understand the goal. But it's not just sentiment. Sentiment is there, but it is a science, you know, Bhakti Yoga. So apply it properly, with all reason and argument. You only give up reason and argument when you've exhausted it completely. There must be something beyond that. And the most rational, the most, you know, rigorous person on earth, now I'm going to Bhakti. Something beyond that. So it includes all those things. You know? So this is a summary. Then the Nectar of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a, I don't know, how many verses? No? 1,200 maybe, something like that? But maybe about 1,200 verses, more than that, maybe it's thick though, it's big. And then after that, showing us the science, then he gave a demonstration in two dramas, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, which actually, to really enter into those and perform, you have to understand the science. For example, we were traveling with our Manipuri group from the Himalaya Mountains, and they're following the same tradition. All these very sophisticated dramas and everything. So we would start our shows with a drum dance. You know, these beautiful pung cholam. They were dancing and spinning and, like, you know, like that. You seem like that. It's incredible, like that, in the air, like the drums, like that. It's so precise, you know. They do one thing like that and they kind of slow down and idle. Okay. They go like that. One person said, every show is different. They do it because they just, okay, what is that? This, you know. They drumming is their whole life, the drummers like that. So what I would do though is maybe like 800 people, 1,000, sometimes, you know, the biggest we did was probably about 1,800 people like that. So I would run back behind the audience and started. And after they did their first like thing, kind of idled, I would immediately go like, "Hey, Arrigo! Hey, wonderful!" You know? And a couple people in the audience would start, and then the whole audience would just catch in like that, and clap like that, you know. And they all thought it was just a spontaneous thing. They were and after that, they would clap during the show like that, different times. But if you didn't do that, it was almost, I think, so 85% chance they wouldn't clap, you know, like that. So it's just, and then finally, for example, the finish is offered Ras Lila, and the Radha and Krishna are there posing like that, and you know, and usually have four gopis with chamaras like that, and one offering these plumber's candles. They're real big candles like that. We have before those, like five of those. So it was a big, like, you know, artik for Radha and Krishna for this beautiful drama. And then the drums and a big gong and double conch shells. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And up above we had like this cloth thing with holes in it with tinsel in it, the metallic stuff. And from the side you shake it like that and it falls down. And we had a blue light, ice blue light. So it just looked like ice blue light falling on Radha and Krishna. And then the gopis were in powder pink. Like that. So the Western stage, you can do this. You can create these incredible lighting effects. And the lighting designers just loved it because of the costumes like that. So finished off with this thing like that and the music and then bong, okay, Q47. All the lights drop. 1, 2, 3, Q48. Boom. Just you get exact timing. Everybody, the lights go up and everybody just stands up and applauds. You know? And they think, oh, yes, we spontaneously all stood up and applauded. You know? And sitting up in the crowd. It is spontaneous, but you're helping. It's there, right? But you're helping like that, you know? So he has this whole series. It's a whole complete science of bhakti yoga. And it does more than take you out of the material world like that. So Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. And to appreciate those, to apply the dramas accurately, you have to understand the science. Certain things have to be done at a certain time, a certain rhythm, certain postures create a certain mood like that, you know. Yeah? Yeah? It all happens, Abhinaya. So, which is about, one is about Krishna and Vrindavan, and one is about Krishna and Dwarka. Which is about Krishna and Vrindavan? Yeah, the bees match up. Yeah, because different humor. Yeah, and so on. So, he starts off with the basic things, you know. He, in the nectar, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, Hrishikena, Sevanam, Asarvopadi, Vinirmuktam, Tat Paratvena, Nirmalam, Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevanam, Bhaktir Uchate. What is Bhaktir? Bhakti? We all have all these upadis, right? I am black. I am white. I am brown. I am yellow. I'm red. That's what we got. That's all we got in the modern catalog. We lost the green and the blue like that. Kind of look at that. You know? So on. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. Okay. And so, yeah, okay. I'm rich. I'm poor. I'm American. I'm Indian. I'm Russian. I'm man. I'm a woman. You know, you get all these upadis, designations like that. You know, one time I guess the Indian version of this. We were in Fazilka. District Farozpur in Punjab. And my disciples from there. And it's very close to the border of Pakistan. So we got permission to go out into the neutral zone like that and see the flag down ceremony. Yeah. And she's going there and we were hurrying to get there, and on both sides there's these signs which say like danger minefields, you know. But I think that the deer and stuff couldn't read Hindi. So probably lost a few of them. We got there, and finally we got through all these bunkers, and we came to this little area. It was like a little house and, you know, some small barracks. Maybe like about 40 soldiers actually posted there. And there was a gate, you know, down below that led to the opposite side of the Pakistani border and was designed as a negotiation center, although it had never been used. Then double fence, chain link fences, barbed wire zone. And the opposite side was a little tower, and these Pakistani guys, you know, in their little tower like that. So exactly at sundown, both sides came out, and then, you know, kind of stuff, you know, and took their flag down. I figured one side did it first, like they alternated like that, you know. And they took it down, and they went away, you know. And my disciple Rock Talk You know, he was in the army like that. And these guys are stationed out there for, you know, 3 months, 4 months at a time. And we came along with, you know, a whole group of people and some girls from South America and stuff like that, you know. And he says, I don't care, Pakistani or Hindu, these 22-year-old soldiers are both looking at the same thing. You know, these 18-year-old girls, like, you know, like that. So where's the upadhi? You know, I'm Pakistani, I'm Hindu. And you see the farmers working, growing the same things on both sides of the crops, like that. So all these designations, you know, like that. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam, right? You know, becoming free, finishing off, like that. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam, Tatvarapena Nirmalam. Free, completely clear, cleanse of these things. Then engage the senses in the service of Krishna, of the master of the senses. That's bhakti. Not some, you know, Prabhupada says one time some man says, oh, I have so much bhakti for the demigod. I have so much bhakti for my wife. When I don't see her, I cry. He said, this is not bhakti. This is lust. What is bhakti? Not some sentiment without, well, I always quote it as a sentimental speculation or emotional ecstasy, material ecstasy. It's practical activity in the foreground of spiritual life. You use your senses in the service of the master of the senses like that. Yeah. Cooking for Krishna, cleaning for Krishna, making an altar for Krishna, making money for Krishna, fighting battles for Krishna. Yeah? Like that. How to do it? Okay. It's possible. Yeah. So the very first verse, he's saying that everybody is pushed by six things. There are many pushes in life. You know? But vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegam, yobeshahita dira, sarva mapi mam pratibhim sasisha. So what does vegam mean? Yeah, push, impulse. Yeah. So he said, this is the beginning. Use these impulses, the senses. The Vedas say that the human body is like a ship, right? And the winds are the senses. They have this pushing nature. Everybody wants to see a certain thing, taste a certain thing. One time I was in India and somebody had spit on the ground there by some tea shop. It was a nice big, you know, drop of mucus, okay? And over here was some sugar water, like that. So around the sugar water, shoulder to shoulder, were all these ants, like that, you know? And around the mucus, shoulder to shoulder, were all these flies. Yeah, it was just like that far apart. I was just looking. It was just like, you know, incredible, you know? And they all had their, like, particular taste, you know? Yeah. So the senses are pushing us. The Vedas say this is a favorable wind in a human body. You're not looking after mucus like that. In a human being, you have a push for the right thing. Krishna's giving you a chance if you don't pervert it like that. So there's especially you saying six pushes, you know. And it all begins with this rascal, right? Try and see him. He's hiding. Yeah. He is the cause of all your problems. They all begin right here in the majority, you know. And he has two functions. One is tasting and the other is talking. Okay. So even fasting, you know, to become trim and fit or something, you know. And you go by some, I don't know, we Americans, we go by a bakery and smell these things cooking and like that. I don't know, somebody else goes by, like Italy, I don't know, Italy Wada Sambar, or something, I don't know what, like that, you know. You know. And so then your tongue starts to water and, oh, wow, it tastes really good. Okay, I'll go inside and look, but I won't take anything. That, you know, okay, so go like that, you know. So I was American, they were bear claws and donuts and some coffee with a little cream and sugar like that. You know. Oh, you have a coffee, espresso machines. Oh, like that, you know. So you're tasting these things. And, you know, your tongue is satisfied, right? But then you start to be hungry, right? Because you're stimulating your stomach. You know. So, okay, then you're eating more and more until your stomach is satisfied. And then there's sexual agitation like that. You know. So he says, it's a straight line. Tongue, belly, genitals, hell. Right? Well, and once you lose control of your tongue, and Prabodh Nanda Saraswati says, when you see good food and good drink, you should think, this is the beginning of all my troubles. Like that. So you control, how do you control yourself? Hrishikesha, Hrishikesha, Sevanam. You offer it all to Krishna with your senses, and then Krishna gives some prasad to you. You take it, you know, the servant, you know, taking what the master has given him for service. That's my identity. I'm a servant of Krishna. You're living on his prasad to become healthy like that. So you control the tongue by supplying prasadam at regular times. You can You can eat six times a day, but establish some schedule. Thomas says that snack life is dog life. Right? Yeah, just here and there, here and there. You know, you find it too. You just, you know, you go crazy actually. Then once you lose control of the tongue, like that and so on. So, this is the first point. And take supply prasad at regular times to keep your tongue pacified. Okay, other function, talking. Right? Everyone likes to talk. Even the frogs outside, you know. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. This is just a joke. Someone told me that. Ribbit, ribbit. Talking, you know, and dogs, they like to talk, right? You can tell what they're saying. It's very simple language, you know. But so much stimulation from the tongue. I have a PowerPoint show. If you go on the internet and look for images, look for homunculus. That's the technical term for how the brain is mapped on the cerebral cortex. And you see the homunculus for human being, there's tremendous representation for the hands and the lips and the tongue like that. Yeah. Chimpanzee has very big representation for the hands. You know, so chimpanzees can learn sign language. Yeah. This is American Standard Sign Language. Any deaf person would understand. Indian, because it comes from the lady's dot. Indian.
Monkey.
Once. Yeah. Mini bananas. Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. So you can do it all. This is A as in go. A as in A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V. Can't learn this in prison. It's considered a secret language like that. So it's all with the hands like that, you know. So chimpanzees can do this; they can form that, but they can't. Their mouths are like someone who's had Novocaine. They cannot form like we can. So a human being has all these nerves. So when you're talking, pronouncing the Sanskrit mantras properly, it's producing so much fine stimulation in a certain way. You know, Sanatan Goswami says, if you can't wash anything, wash your mouth. Because then you'll feel refreshed. Try it. Is washing your mouth out fresh water right away. You know, they open your eyes like that, but can't do anything else. You're traveling, just rinse your mouth out right away. It makes you alert like that. You know? So, talking. You know? Talking about Krishna. Talking about Krishna's service. Why do I go to work? To make money for Krishna. Are you working for some neurotic boss? No, he's just an intermediary that pushed the Krishna put there to teach me something. You know? I'm working for Krishna. Where does the money go? It goes to my family. They're devotees. Guy's a rascal. I'll adjust. I'll teach him how to become a lawyer, so he can become a, you know, what do you call it, a peaceful demon when he grows up, like that. But everybody's engaged properly. I'm taking care of them all for Krishna. You know, so that's all. Whatever you're talking about at work is Krishna katha, you know, like that. And whatever you talk about, you know, you start thinking about that. Whatever you're reading, whatever you're hearing, you start thinking about those things. So manasa vegam, vacho vegam, manasa vegam. Push of the mind, manasa krodha vegam. It's so connected. Yukta avirodha priti. The mind just likes to think about things. You try sometimes, right? Try and stop your mind. It likes thinking about some idea like this and that and making some plan, and then I get those stock options, and after that I'm going to buy this and that'll happen. Then I'm going to rotate my tires, and then I'm going to go to that. Yeah, and then I'll come back to school, and yeah, okay, and that'll all be great. You know, And so your mind is, or else you get into some like negative thing, and that'll happen. He'll do this to me, and I'll be destroyed, and that, you know. It's just, you're just enjoying all these dramas, you know, these mental dramas. And it's so hard. Avirodha priti, the mind loves this. Yukta virodha, krodha. You block it, it becomes angry, like that. You know. And again, this is the most dangerous function of the mind. We did the program in the prison today. And I came to this point, and I was starting to talk about how the mind, you can do violent things. I didn't want to bring it up because everybody there is either a murderer, yeah, a murderer or a rapist, or, you know, you have been all through. And basically, they're nice people, but they probably have emotional problems. I was hesitating to bring up this with too much detail. They might say, yeah, I know. Yeah, but it's a fact. Your mind is stopped by something. You want to do something, you become angry at that. And it doesn't mean you have to kill somebody. If you just say something harsh to somebody close, again, it could take you 20 years, right, to forgive you for what you said like that, you know. So this is the most dangerous function of the mind. And again, it all starts again with the tongue, Nonsense speech leads to nonsense thought, leads to nonsense habit, leads to repeated birth, death, and disease and old age. So you always chant 16 good rounds a day, you know, and you'll be able to control your mind. That probably, you know, for us in this sampradaya, this tradition, some acharyas established in this deal with Krishna. Chant 16 nice rounds a day, and then you'll be able to control your mind. Krishna, all day long, Krishna will be giving you warnings and suggestions like that. You know, get up early. Good rounds. So let's say it's Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. And that's the basic process. And after that, he gives a second verse, he gives six things which will inhibit this. You know, talking nonsense, associating with stupid people, you know, becoming, Vacho Achahara Prayasascha, endeavoring too much for mundane things, even acquiring too much knowledge. Radharani doesn't know very much. Radharani refuses to know. Radharani refuses to grow. Yeah, you don't know too much. Don't collect too many things. Yeah, live simply. Here they come, the damsels of Vrajabhumi. Yeah, yeah. So, six things that will impede this, and then six things that will help you: being enthusiastic, following the rules and regulations, keeping association with devotees like that. And then he goes into the most essential thing, which is sadhu sangha. That's the main thing. Sangat sanjayate kamah, the Bhagavad Gita. One's desires and ambitions develop from the company he keeps, like that. So what is association? If you're working for somebody, are you associating with them?
Yeah.
No? No? Value given for value received. There's no association in that. There's no pious credit. There's also no intimate association like that. But you find it's very difficult just to keep that kind of relationship in your workplace like that. You start, and what does he define association in his wisdom? Six things, you know, giving and receiving giving and receiving special gifts, and talking about things confidentially. In America, what's our traditional holiday? Big holiday?
Christmas.
Yeah, what do? You invite your near and dear ones to come and pass the holidays with you and all get together, and you give them special food. Like Johnny Walker Red Label or pickled pheasant tongues or, you know, something. You look for a special gift. I was in the mall today and I found this hunting knife and reminded me of you, and it was really expensive, but I had to get it for you, like that. Oh, thank you, you've touched my heart. In the kitchen, the conversations are going on. What did you hear that Aunt Minnie and Uncle Rajiv are going to get a divorce? No, I don't know, but for sure not. But, you know, but Pinky said that, you know. So don't tell anybody. We'll go outside now with the cookies, you know. But this is it. This is how everybody, you know, associates. And this is how you change your heart, your consciousness. It's the most powerful way. And so, especially these confidential discussions about things, it's really what, you know, changes us like that. So if we're dealing with mundane people, we become mundane. That's how we do it. That's how you become that way, like that. So that's verse number 4, 5, 6 are all about association. So in 5, he says, okay, you're going to have these exchanges with devotees, you know, with devotees, but different kinds of devotees. You know, is Osama bin Laden a devotee of God?
No.
Say no. Rupa Goswami says, and he says, Krishneti yashtya giritam manasa adriyati dikshasti chepunadabhishtya bhajantam isham shushushvaya bhajana vignyam ananyam anyanindadi sunyahurdim sitasangalabhya. He says there's three kinds of devotees. You know, third class, second class, and first class. Yeah, kanishta majama uttama. He says, a kanishta adhikari, universally, you'll find he calls upon the name of God. He hits himself when he's hammering a nail and says, "Oh God, damn it!" You know, "Adi Bhagavan," you know, like that. You know, or he goes to the temple or the mosque or the church, and, you know, some lady goes there and says, "Oh God, please don't let my husband see the credit card bill this month before I get it. Please save me." You know, and students go there, but as soon as you get the credit card bill and pay off this ridiculous, insane purchase, you know, then you forget about God, like that. So Kanista Adhikari, yes, the name of God appears in his lips. He can pray that way, you know. But it's very materialistic still. So supposedly when the Twin Towers came down, all those people died. Osama bin Laden said, Allah Akbar. Yeah. So we would say, yeah, he's with that classification. Yes, if you go to him and talk to him about, Allah doesn't like this. you know, talking about. Maybe in the end he changes his mind and see, you're right. You know, and if he goes on public television and announces these things and his change of heart, and how much influence would they have in the world? You know, like that. And maybe people would think, maybe this is wrong. Maybe we should adjust something. You know? So we're getting into a different area, you know, of actual people who are related to God personally. Ajamil. Ajamil was a fine and dutiful Brahmin in the sixth canto. He was out picking flowers for the deity, and he saw one Shudra and Shudrani embracing and engaging in lascivious activities, and she looked at him and winked at him or something like that. And he was wholly corrupted, and he forgot everything, and, you know, tried to find her later on and talk to her and this and that, and finally he abandoned his beautiful young wife and his old parents and became a robber and a thief to maintain her and all of their children. And finally, when he had all this life of sin, when he was like 82 years old or something, the Yamadutas came to take him to hell. It's all in the sixth canto. And they were about to pull him out of his body, and when his little child was near, he named Narayan, probably because of his previous activities. So he was dying, and he was saying, Narayan! You know? But because of his pious activities, when he said that, he remembered the original Narayan. So at that point, boom! Out of the sky, boom, on bungee cords with laser rifles and everything else. You know, came the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas, like, you know, the Boise police were like, you know, this guy is sort of... Very, very emotional story. You get into it. You know, Yamadutas were really, like, you know, outgunned. So they had Ajamil halfway out of his body like that, and this conversation was going on whether he was going to go to hell or be liberated. You know, and finally they say, "Do not take the soul of this man who is called the name of our master." Like that. Who are you? So they went back to Yamaraj, and they were really perturbed. You know, they're kind of the really gross guys. You know. And they were so angry, even at Yamaraj. And they said, just how many goddamn controllers are there in this universe anyway? Like that. Really, like, you know, it's like that emotional thing, you know. And so, what happened? You're as good as my own son. What happened? Tell me. He said, these guys came from the sky and this and that happened. He said, oh my goodness, you know. I tried to tell you about this, but, you know, but above me and above everybody else, the Supreme Lord, like that and so on, you know. So now the Yamadutas, even when they see a devotee, they're afraid to touch him, go near him like that. No. So was Ajamil sinful? Yeah, a sinful guy. Yeah. Was he offensive? No. Because he just became confused. Really, he was just carried away by the situation like that. Yeah. So this is a very, very important point. We're coming to deal with people now. We're associating with devotees. We're starting to have a personal relationship with the king and the king's sons and children and ministers and friends like that. You know? We're no longer just in the kingdom. Now we're starting to go into the house, and the people we meet in the king's palace are, you know, a little specially related like that. You know? So now we've got to be careful of our personal dealings with people. You know, the police dragged the king's nephew in front of him and said, Your Majesty, your nephew did this and this and that, and we're taking him off to jail. And he's sitting there and he says, you know, Rajiv, did you do this? And he said, yes, sir, yes, uncle. And so the police say, should we take him? He say, no, I'll take care of this personally. He said, okay, you know, go to jail. Yeah. Now you're in jail eternally. Eternally? What that means is not like for a long time. It means until the king decides you're out. Like that. Eternal damnation. Right? It could be 5 minutes or it could be for 50 years. You know, it's in a different platform. So association with doing something different. Kanista Adhikari, two kinds. Some want to advance and some don't want to advance. The guys who want to advance, if they're willing to accept instructions from pure devotees, from the scripture, we favor them, we talk to them, we explain things, you know. Somebody has a big program in their house, this actually happened, they invited us to come there, they were devotees, and they took everything out, made a nice altar, they had one boy staying in their house who was renting a room, vegetarian guy. And then the boys were bringing stuff and putting on the altar for the deities, kirtan was going on. So he brought in something too, a beautiful ice-cold liter of Budweiser beer, put it right on the altar like that. Budweiser is the king of beers. Yeah. So then we told him, Dave, it's very nice of you to bring this and stuff, but actually Krishna doesn't like beers. Oh, yeah, well, I could see that. Okay, you know. So he's a Kanista Adhikari. He wants to serve God, and he's innocent. He's okay, oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for telling me like that. You know. Other guy doesn't want to advance. So we avoid the other guys. Madhyama Adhikari has taken initiation from an acharya. The Prophet Muhammad, may his name be blessed, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the Buddha, you know, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Ramanuja Acharya. There's so many acharyas who obviously manifest that they know God and they establish a sadhana, they establish a standard. You know, if you want to take initiation for the Prophet Muhammad, may his name be blessed, bow down six, was it six times a day? Or how many times?
Five
times a day. Okay, if you're really six times there. Five times a day towards Mecca, give charity according to a certain regulation, you know, observe Ramadan, go to Mecca. There's a whole sadhana bhakti. Every acharya gives it. And every doctor differs for time, place, circumstance. He makes up a formula that'll work. But you'll find the same elements. You know, like hearing about God, talking about Him. You know? And so then it's a Madhyamadikar. He's taken initiation, bona fide spiritual master, and finally he's engaged in worshipping the icon, the deity, the Lord. He comes to that point where he can appreciate Krishna's form. His name, then his form. One after another like that. And that point he's dealing with Krishna like that. And so we should always offer our obeisances to him. And Bhakti doesn't mean he's completely right. He has material desires still, but they're under control. They're diminishing. And so we can have a good association. We can work together, you know, hearing songs, doing festivals, and purify ourselves more rapidly. Finally, it becomes spontaneous. You don't have to control yourself by intellectual adjustment. You know, it's just automatically, when something happens, you automatically just detest it. You avoid it automatically, you know, perfect like that. Udamadakari. His spontaneous love of Krishna is reawakened. He has no interest in criticizing other people. He's advanced in undeviating devotional service. And his body is just like, body and character are just like the Ganges. Even though the Ganges may be full of bubble foam and mud, people are intelligent. No, it's not contaminated. So Uttamadhikari may come from any kind of situation like that. But you see beyond that, he's engaged in pure devotional service. Haridas Thakur was from a Muslim family, but Lord Chaitanya accepted him as a Namacharya, like that, and so on. Okay. And then, you know, associate with devotees, you know. So 7 and 8, he talked about the process again. Chant Hare Krishna, read the Krishna book, read Bhagavad Gita, worship the deity. You become detached from material life if you follow the process of the acharya. And then you can actually start to cultivate sentiments by associating with advanced devotees, following their examples. Like Hanuman, how would Hanuman deal with this layoff? Okay. Like that. Yeah, that's Raganuga Bhakti. Yeah, following the raga of an advanced devotee. You're beyond the rules and regulations. You're not giving them up, but now you want to add something, some flavor. I'm playing the piano, right? I'm following the notes, but there's no feeling. You need to learn how to do the feeling like that and stuff. You know? So raganuga, following the feeling. And that stimulates our real feelings, our eternal feelings in terms of Krishna. And they begin to wake up. That's bhava bhakti. And when they're fully awake, I heard today, Prabhupada says, you remember your relation with Krishna, you're transported back to that spiritual world. You remember your relationship to Krishna, like that. So he goes on like that. And the last verse is describing these more intimate, conjugal, confidential developments, the love of God, like that. So, it's a wonderful book. It's also out of print. You can't buy it. So I have one copy here available for $250. Like that. But we'll toss in a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam and a seminar on the first two cantos, like that. Anyway, maybe there's some of the temple left like that. If not, if you go to krishna.com, it's there online. The whole book's online like that. You know? So I would say, beg, borrow, or steal, but get a copy. It's a very wonderful book if you haven't got it like that. So any questions? Koi prashna hai? Okay. Yeah. No? Just thinking over here. In Chile, yeah, I see, you know, in Chile and South America, the other thing that nobody will ask a question for like about 1 minute. And I would say, well, nobody asks a question. The guy said, no, wait. 1 minute. You know? No. it's just some cultural thing. You have to kind of wait, you know, like that. Yeah, questions, comments. Yeah. So we're here for like how long? We're here until for a few more days like that. Yeah. And, you know, this is one, I like to start with this book. I carry it with me. Like Hanuman was carrying Ram's ring to identify himself for Sita. So I figure I carry this with me. And one time when I was traveling, I got off of a train and one guy was getting on the train. He was in California. And he said, wow, so you're a monk? I said, yeah, like that, yeah. He said, wow, I just quit the university and I'm traveling all over the places looking for God like that and stuff. And what can you tell me? And the train was actually starting to move. And he said, well, take this book. Yeah. So he got on the train like that. Because I had it there, you know, like that. You know? So always traveling. in your purse, in your briefcase, you know, some books available. I mean, Krishna will send people. There's so many things in here. I've had big debates with, you know, about GDC and, you know, Guru and everything else, with very heavy people. You know, I got caught in the middle one time. And I thought, we're never going to have to go beyond Upadesha Amrita. Never did. The whole thing was resolved. Everybody was happy with the discussion like that. It's, you know, it's not much, but if you know, actually know what it says, so much, you know, details like that. And then, you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, like that. How many people are chanting 16 rounds a day? How many people are chanting 50 rounds a day? Okay. 25 rounds a day. I checked in. Okay. 16. You got more there? 4. 16 is equivalent like that. Harsh. Oh, wow. Hey, okay. Like that. 1 round a day. 1 maha mantra a day. Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, Prabhupada says one place, he says, take some vow you know you can do. This is, if it's a very good vrata, take some vow of jap. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yajnanam japa yajna ushmi. Right? By sacrifice, you can have anything. Right? By tapasya, by sacrifice. What's his name? Vishwamrita came to take Ram and Lakshman off to fight these demons, and Dasarat was falling on the ground unconscious, coming back, begging on his knees, everything else like that. He was just totally distraught. And then Vishishta told him, he said, Vishwamrita is tapasya in human form. You know, there's no absolutely no danger whatsoever when Ram and Lakshman are with him, so please send him like that. He did so much austerity like that. One time, one very handsome Kshatriya wanted to go to heaven in the same body. So he approached, who was it? Vishishta? And he cursed him to become an ugly Shudra. His story. Then Vishwamrita was going to do it because he was always fond of guys who were like downtrodden and stuff. So nobody would come and help him or something. They're afraid, yeah. Vishishta's, his sons cursed him, I think. Because first he went to Vishishta, he wouldn't do it, so he went to his sons and tried to become angry because our father refused and you're asking us. They cursed him to become an ugly Shudra. So then Vishwamrita said, well, I'll help you out. You know. So he went to a sacrifice and he invited everybody, and all of Vishishta's sons were afraid not to come, you know, irritate the guy. So he went there, and he was first ladle of ghee went in the fire, and the demigods didn't come to accept it. And the Vishishta's sons are starting to laugh. And go, you know, the Purohit's a Kshatriya who became a Brahmin. The beneficiary is a Shudra who was a Kshatriya. You know. So he was angry. He said, all right, if the demigods won't cooperate, then this on the basis of my tapasya, and you rise to heaven. He started going up like that, you know. And then Indra saw him coming up and said, what's this going on? This guy has no prize credits, and sort of, you know, have him go back down like that. He opposed it. And Vashishta stood, and then okay, you know, Vashishta's son started laughing, you know, ha ha ha. And we'll see. And he says, all right, you know, even the demigods oppose this, they will not be able to stop it. Wah-ha. And the guy stopped. The guy was hanging upside down, halfway in the sky like that, his legs kicking, you know. And then Vishishta said, you know, all right. The Vishwamrita said, if the demigods won't cooperate, then I'll create an entire new universe with new Indra, Varuna, sunset, stars, night, day, creation, and everything else is starting to manifest like that, you know. Vishishta's sons are running over each other to get out of the way, and the demigods are going nuts and finally reach an agreement. Okay, let's, you know, talk about this. But let him stay halfway up there like that, and we'll give his body back. He said, okay. So he's some kind of star or something, or planet, or it's halfway on the horizon like that. So by tapasya, you can get anything, you know, by yajna. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yajnanam japa yajnoshmi. Amongst sacrifices, I am japa, chanting of the holy names like that. So it's a very wonderful austerity. Even you can do for your health, you know, for your family relationships, for your wealth, for your, you know, for your sankirtan. Prabhupada says all these things. If you chant 69 rounds a day, management will be at the end of your finger. So there'll be no question of shortage of wealth. Your family relations will become very nice. People will respect your preaching. Wonderful places like that. Okay, let me try it. You know, let me chant. You know, he said, take some vow you know you can do. Okay, I'll try 1 mala a day for 1 week. Okay. And after 2 days, your mind says, oh, we can't do this. We're going to die. We chant 1 mala. Shut up. Sit down and chant, you know. No, I'll die. No, you don't. you know, there's something, you know, okay, you know. I will chant one mala every year on Janmashtami. You know? Okay, but then you have to do it. You know, I know I can do this, I should do this. You really stop and you think, you know, what should I do? I should try this out, you know, like that, you know. Or else, I know one guy was just in the temple, it was this girlfriend was a, why he got married? Married, yeah. He was from Egypt. He was like a real, like, camel driver type guy. He worked in a used washing machine store. Really, and a gross guy, always smoking, you know. He said, I want to stop smoking. What should I do? You know? So we'll just chant one maha mantra before each puff, like that. And that was his sadhana. And that's about a few days later, I saw him. I said, what's happening? Did it work? He started laughing. He said, yeah, it worked. He said, but then I realized I actually didn't want to stop smoking. And so I stopped doing it. And it was working. So it's something. You know, I heard one lady do a dance for Janmashtami. Very nice lady. She came, did it for her for Janmashtami. It was a dance. Can't you chant his name one time after you get up? And can't you chant his name one time before you take your breakfast? It's about five or six times during the day. Can you do it one time like that? A very nice song like that. So take some vrata like that and try it, and you'll discover actually, yeah, it gets my body purified, my mind a little clearer like that. And then once you start becoming purified by this, yeah, then you become, you know, addicted like that. Yeah, I just got to get ready to chant my mantra. Otherwise, everything is not so, you know, you can see I'm not so purified. I'm not so in tune with things. You know? My mind is not fixed. You know? The best time to chant 16 rounds is before Mangalarti, at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know? And after that, Mangalarti is an incredible experience. You know? Chant a few more, you know? 9 more rounds, whatever, or something else. And when you take your breakfast, the sun is coming up, you can read, you know, something, and take your breakfast. And now, you know, you're Superman. You go to work like that. Your consciousness is fixed. You know, you're tuned with Krishna. And come back in the evening after fighting all day in the battle of Kurukshetra, pull the arrows out, you know, take a bath, and sit down. Take a little prasad and have some kirtan and watch a movie with your family, you know, Chandika Pandit, Ramayana, something, you know. Read the Krishna book before you go to bed, hot milk, and, you know, and your whole life will be Vaikuntha. You know, these bhavas start to manifest. One time Prabhupada was walking on the block in Los Angeles, like that. In the back side of the block, there were these biker guys, had this house, and they were like selling drugs and, you know, illegal guns and making money, and their big Harley Davidsons on the side, on the thing, and the house was half falling apart. So one Sunday morning, the boys were walking around, and one guy was out there up early enough, you know, with the sun like that, before sunrise, with light coming, and he kind of had scars here and there like that, and big guy, you know, and stuff. And beer bottles all over the place and this and that, you know, and everything. So the boys were walking around. The first time he's kind of laughing. He said, hey, where'd you get that pink dress? You know, where's that? What's in your little purse there, honey? You know, like that, you know. So, like that. So the devotees were kind of pretending they didn't hear it like that, you know. So the third time they went around, Prabhupada left the devotees and walked right across the lawn, right up to the sky. And the devotees were kind of like, thinking the guy's going to eat Prabhupada. They're kind of like going to go after him, but not kind of afraid to go after him. And then Prabhupada walked right up to this guy. He was like, you know, twice as tall. He said, so you're not liking holy names? And the guy said, no, it's okay. It's okay. Okay. And walked around the second time the guy was inside the house. Next time around like that, you know. So many things like you become tuned into Krishna. Another story like that. Hansududa told us, what was his name? Was Jagjivan. He was in Germany. He had a big stage program. The stage would be like, you know, six times the size of this room. Maybe 40 or 50 devotees on it. Big kirtan with maybe 1,000 Germans there. And Germans with heavy guards. So he said the Prabhupada was chanting the Vyasa-san. And somehow or other he was able to see this, that one of the girls was chanting next to the edge of the stage. And some rowdy German guys, or, you know, young guys drinking a little bit. And one of them just grabbed her sari like that. Was pulling on it. She was like, you know, kind of frightened and stuff. And he said, and before anybody else even realized what was happening, Prabhupada was off the Vyasa-san with the kartals, heading like this, heading towards the guy like that. And these guys were like just kind of dropped and went back like that. Like, then Prabhupada looked at them like naughty children, kind of like, and they went like, you know, like that. And he sat down in the Vyasa-san. And everybody else kind of noticed him get off and get sit down again, and nobody even noticed what had happened like that. Yeah. So you're in touch with Krishna. Yeah, you're empowered like that. And of course, the biggest power is to be able to touch somebody else's heart and change them like that. Just one story, I'll finish like that. Partha Sarthi, He's one devotee in the U.S. Army now. And it's his third tour of duty. And it's really incredible. Anybody here, I heck, for my money on the line, I'll do it. There's nobody here has a life as tough as he does. You know? He gets up at 1:30 in the morning and goes out and chants his rounds. He has 49 guys, sergeants, corporals, under him and his platoon like that. He joined the Army when he was 17 years old. His whole life has been how to keep him killing people. And he lost track of how many people he's killed, how many times people tried to kill him. So 1:30 he goes out to chant his 16 rounds. It's in Iraq. It's about 97 degrees at 1:30 in the morning. Puts his helmet on. Chants his round, okay. Then he gets up, this base, his Shalagram Shila, there's the whole puja like that. And then it's time for the rest of the soldiers to get up and get out. And they go to work, right? Put on their 40 pounds of body armor, load their automatic weapons. And okay, today there's this town where we're getting complaints that people are coming in, insurgents, and the head man wants us to come and help him clean them out like that. Okay, so our company's going, 250 guys, they drop down there. Yeah, typical day's work, they're heading through there, snipers start blasting away at them. Bullets are about this long, maybe coming at you something like 275 miles an hour. Steel jacket, yeah, it doesn't do much for your body, coming in or coming out. So they all ducking down, call the captain. What do we do, captain? Okay, we're going to come up on this side. You guys hang out there, stay undercover. We're going to cover it, and you guys come forward. So these bullets are blasting around. He's reading the Bhagavad Gita. One soldier runs across, a bullet spraying at him to hear the Bhagavad Gita. Nine more are there by this wall, listening to the Bhagavad Gita like that. That's the Bhagavad Gita class. sometimes you blast away at some house, they're shooting at you, and you go inside, and three little children are dead. And you wonder, God, how could this happen? I just did this, you know. You know, why am I here? You know, so yeah, that's what Arjuna knew was going to happen. So Bhagavad Gita takes care of all that. You know. So then the tough thing comes, okay, we're ahead, get your guys moving. Okay, Bhagavad Gita class is finished. You guys spray that to ceiling and keep our heads down. You blast that side, we're going. Running up their back like that, you know. Okay, you know, Bhagavad Gita, okay, Sarge, you know. So sometimes 18-hour missions like that. Then they come back, take a bath, go down to the base exchange, 25,000 people on the base, and distribute books. Joy, that's a devotee, you know, like that. So, you know, how can we even, you know, compare to this kind of thing like that? But we can start wherever we're at. Everybody here is more advanced than somebody, and everybody here is less advanced than somebody else. So the real thing is how we're actually, you know, becoming more useful tools, you know, for Krishna. He gave a lecture in Vrindavan, 700 people there, Festival of Inspiration. That was his point. It doesn't matter where you are, there's no excuse that you cannot become a devotee, you cannot preach. During the invasion, he had to live on saltine crackers, peanut butter, and canned orange juice for 10 days. There's no vegetarian food there. He did not lie down for 10 days. You know, you have to get four hours sleep, that's the law. 4 hours, but not all at one time. So, yeah. And he says, you know, just, you know, all I can do is by praying and chanting. Well, okay, we also pray and chant. But wow. Yeah. So I'll pray for him. You know, hopefully he'll make it back alive this time. This is his third time. He makes it back and he's out like that. It's amazing. Other people have soldiers there, but associating with him, realize there's a Hare Krishna there too. Yeah. His company has 250 soldiers in it. His platoon has 49. Every platoon has like a name. You know, and he said, okay, you know, and they all know him. He's a devotee. They all ask him to give classes and talk about stuff. I think, okay, you ask, I'll tell you. And so then he said, okay, you guys, the captain says, you got to have a name for our platoon. So you guys pick it. I don't want to do that. I do everything. You guys pick it. And don't give me something stupid like the Avengers or something like that. Or you come with some name. Okay. So he came back in the next morning and said, okay, what's the name? Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Yeah. So there's a platoon in the U.S. Army named Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Wow, couldn't believe it. You know? Okay, you guys fit it. So they run around Fort Lewis. It's like about 6 miles, and everybody has to finish, all 250 guys. There's usually only about 20 guys cross the finish line together, and the rest kind of come in, you know, like a matter of timing. And so one platoon sergeant leads the cadence, you know, at different times, you know, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 1, 2, blah, blah, blah. close the door, you know, like that, you know. They go around. So he's leading on his turn when he's leading. Guess what he's leading? Yeah, Maha Mantra. Hare, Hare, Krishna, 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 Krishna. You know, all the sergeants, the top sergeant, everybody. But that's, he said, they all respect the guy's religion in this situation like that, and it's interesting, and maybe it works, and it's, at least it's funny, and okay, he gets his turn, okay, you know. So he said the news went all the way up to the top, you know, brass, you know, office, headquarters, and these colonels and guys, because you can hear it everywhere, 250 soldiers yelling off, hurry, hurry, Krishna, Krishna, you know, so what is that, you know. Oh, it's Arya Sonnenberg, the Hare Krishna again. He's leading the guys his company. Running, you know, like that, you know? So normally 20 guys cross the finish line together. This time, 250 soldiers cross the finish line running together like that. So he heard, came down, that one major said, God damn it, if we got to all become Hare Krishnas to win this war, we'll do it. Okay, back to work. Yeah. But he has so many stories like that. Oh, yeah, the way I was coming to it. Just when he got back, he just got back now. And he met the chaplain, and the chaplain had heard a little bit about him, and he said, didn't understand anything about Hinduism at all. And he gave him the Bhagavad Gita and said, this will answer your questions about Hinduism, about spiritual life, like that. So he came back again, and he said, oh, very nice, Ari. Thank you very much, Sergeant. And I want to, it was amazing. So many of my questions were actually answered like that about my own Christian faith like that and stuff like that, you know. He was quoting one verse. He was reading one little section out of the purport like that. You know? And can you give a talk tomorrow morning, you know, from your tradition like that? You know? So then he was going out the door, and he looked back at the chaplain. He was thinking, maybe I should talk to him a little bit more, preach a little bit more. And he said the guy was like this kind of rubbing the cover of the Bhagavad Gita, and the tears coming from his eyes like that. He said, okay, I haven't got any more to say to this guy like that. So it doesn't matter where you are. You know, you can gradually somehow the Krishna will arrange it. He doesn't like to do aggressive preaching. He tried doing that to get out of the army, and they wouldn't let him out. So he said, okay, yeah, this is my thing. But he just does his thing. He has pictures of Krishna, and does it, everybody respects what he's doing. And then people start asking questions like that. So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna mantra ki. So we can chant a little more. Okay, all right. How do you load the rifle? We should be engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna 24 hours a day. You can hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, or again, if you're really working for Krishna, you know, taking care of your children for Krishna, then you're telling them to pick up your clothes, do this and that, and you understand slowly how this is all going to connect it to Krishna. In the beginning, you've got to make some balance. Okay, my material life, my spiritual life. But after a while, you begin to see that it's all the same thing. It's all for Krishna. You know? Everything. And I've learned how to do that. And that's the art. It takes some time. Like that. So we should always be talking about Krishna. But because it is Kali Yuga, and because Iti Soda Sakha Nam Nam Kali Kalamasa Nasanam. They're actually described, the Mahamantra is actually described as the, I forget the word now, something named, what is it? But it means a specific mantra that is especially empowered for this Kali Yuga like that. So that's why we take the Mahamantra and we do a vrata of 16 malas, just to, not to fool ourselves. And you have so many, I chant all the time. Just set some timer, your timer, you know, to go off in the hour. And you see, actually, you're not chanting all the time. Very much, really, like that. If you are, okay, it's something else. You know, but usually you're not. And this for example for others, and also just to, because of the material world. You know. But it's like, you know, somebody saying, I want to be a great pianist, I want to play beautiful music, and I touch the piano like this and that. The teacher says, well, you should learn the scales, like that and stuff. You know, well, why, this and that. And later on, you'll see why, because they fit in like that. So, yeah, if you're a Mahabharata, Prabhupada says, it's sufficient just to chant the holy name, everything else will happen. But he said, this is for liberated soul. And he says, most of the people we're initiating, he says that most of the people we're initiating are not liberated. Therefore, besides chanting, we also have to do like this regulated Vaidhi, Sadhana Bhakti, like that. So the number 16 is actually coming from Lord Chaitanya. Like that. It's actually mentioned in different places, a certain number of lack of mantras like that. So there is kind of some like Mangalartik. Mangalartik should be doing Brahma Muhurta. On Ekadasi we should fast from grains. The form of Krishna looks like this. You know, there are certain this natural way the world is designed for these tapasyas. In the age of gold, the austerity is meditation. In the age of silver, it's Agnihotra. In the age of bronze, it's Murti Seva. And in the age of Kali, it's Haranama. Kalona stay Kalo. Haraname Vakevalao. Okay. So there are indications from the scripture. And the acharyas are saying, yes, this is true. So then as if you're remembering Krishna sincerely, but why can't you also remember Krishna sincerely when you're chanting his name? Like that. Well, maybe I'm not remembering this sincerely all the time. So it's part of the technical process. In the beginning, in any discipline, in the beginning there's these drills and austerities like that. Now again, if you're beyond that, if you're always absorbed in spontaneous, emotional love of Krishna, then you don't follow so strictly like that. Maybe not chanting your rounds. But it's a very dangerous sage. And Kapila Deva has explained that a hunter who catches birds and stuff with the circus, after he catches them, he doesn't let them, I've caught them, let me just let them do what they want to do. No. He knows they'll go away. So now I've got the mind, it's not thinking about this vanity and that vanity. Now I've got my soul, I've given up from the core of my heart, my egotism. Listen, I've gone through hundreds and millions of lifetimes, right? And now I finally got this out of my heart. Okay. And you don't have to do it so naturally. But then you become an avaduta. Nobody knows what you're doing. You live like a mad woman. You don't wash your hair. You're babbling to yourself, all kinds of inanities. But it's always about Krishna. So until we come to that position, but then if you're going to be an example for others, then you have to show them. You should chant on B, because you won't remember Krishna. You won't do it naturally. Beautiful gift for Krishna.
Significance of chanting only on B. Can you just chant?
No, you should chant all the time. But again, this is a japa mala. It has to get all the nerves in the fingers, the tongues in the mouth. So it's a natural form of mind control. It's just like one newspaper article in India said, why should we become vegetarian? We must separate dietary habits from religion. What does vegetarianism have to do with religion? Well, this all connects. The whole world exists only for the purpose of self-realization. Otherwise, you just stay in the body of Mahavishnu and intoxicated form. But Krishna creates this whole illusion so we can start to manifest our differences, our complaints and stuff like that. So therefore everything has a relationship to self-realization. Everything like that. And we're always getting lessons at every moment to the Paramatma, to Advaita. It's everything in your life, you come to this point where he's always trying to give you lessons, and at some point you come to the point where you're willing to listen a little bit. So then, the codices is the 11th day of the moon, because the moon is, how's it go? The sun is an incarnation of Aniruddha. Krishna expands himself as Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And Aniruddha is the predominating deity of the mind, Pradyumna is the predominating deity of the intellect, buddhi, Shankarshan of Ahankara, and Vasudev is Krishna himself. So the sun is an incarnation of Aniruddha, therefore it's impossible to keep good mental health without sufficient sunlight. How does Seattle fare in terms of sunlight? Very miserable. One of the highest suicide rates in America, always. If you go a long time with no sunlight, you just start to become so this is it. People love to pay to live at the beach, pay a fortune to live at the beach. Why? Krishna says, among bodies of water, I am the ocean. Among purifiers, I am the wind. Among luminaries, I am the sun. I am the fragrance of the earth. They don't know it, but they want to get Krishna. So they're learning some lesson. These are nice things. So the beads and japa mala is also part of this, the way we're formed like that. This is very natural. You try it. Your jaw and your paw should move. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you see, it's very difficult to think about anything else, because you're feeling like that. Okay, try it. You can experiment.
Sometimes you don't have enough sleep.
Yeah, so chant. Sing songs. You know, but at least, you know, again, Rupa Goswami's first suggestion in detail of Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations, is get a teacher. You know, get an acharya. You know, acharya, and take shelter of an acharya. Hear from him. And after all your doubts are removed and everything else, then take diksha from him. You know, make a formal contract with dedication like that. I mean, I could ask you a question. Are you married? But why did you go through this ceremony? Well, yeah. Well, you don't need to get married. Tell your daughters that. You know, just, you know, you can live with a boy and, you know, just love each other. You know, but you can see, no, it's, there's something happens. You know, on your wedding day, were you nervous? It's already arranged. Yeah, ask anybody here. I mean, I was married. You're nervous because, well, today I'm gonna in front of all these people and I can't change my mind after this and you know. So it makes you think, and some people think, no, this is not right. You know. So the formality of taking diksha, receiving a name, taking shelter, it's a formality, but it's not a meaningless formality. Chanting on beads is a formality, but it's not a meaningless formality. It has a certain efficacy. So Lord Chaitanya's time, it was 64 rounds a day. Lord Chaitanya is described, wouldn't even take a glass of water from somebody who wasn't a lakpati. A lakpati means he has 64 rounds a day. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. When he said, oh, Mahaprabhu, please come take lunch in my house. He said, oh, I only dine in the house of lakpatis. The guy said, well, I'm not that rich. He said, I mean somebody who has 100,000 names every day, which is 64 rounds, smallest. So Prabhupada, seeing our condition and everything else, said, okay, at least 16 malas a day and this active sadhana. Get up, do the mangal arti, things like that. If you can do 16 rounds a day, practically speaking, 64 rounds a day, you don't do anything else. But it's very difficult. It's easier to do a little puja in the morning, mangal arti, offer some flowers to Krishna, decorating him, look at it like that, you know, my altar, go to the mall and buy some nice things for your deities. You know, okay. Acharya gives some standard like that. So, akirtaniya sadahari, but at least 16 rounds. Then you can read Bhagavad Gita, you can chant prayers from Ramayana, you can sing songs, you know. You can do so many things. Yeah. One time in Mayapur, Prabhupada was chanting 16 rounds, finished his rounds, put his beads down, and he said, 16 rounds done. Now I can do whatever I damn well please. Yeah, you can. But for Krishna, you won't be able to not do it for Krishna after 16 good rounds.
Okay.
Yeah, please, yeah.
Actually, it seems, you know, we have to give 10% of whatever we do, at least, to God. So 10% of the
Mormons.
Is 2.5 hours. Yeah. And so 2.5 hours takes for 16 rounds. So that's how it is tied to, and therefore, you know, we almost kind of tied to that way, and that's how it's gone.
Your father's a lawyer, right?
Yes,
I didn't think about that before. So the Mormons, they were talking to God, you know, their religion was being formed. They have a book called Doctrines and Covenants, which where God set up these. And so if God said you should give, you know, I think it was like 50% of your income to the church. And they said, well, God, that's too much. He said, well, all right, 40%. They said, well, it's still a lot, you know, God, all right, 20%. He said, well, come on, God. He said, okay, 10%, take it or leave it. So they said, all right, you know. So every you know, church administration for the Mormon church in some ways is very easy because every Mormon has to give 10% of his income to the church like that. And also in Doctrines and Covenants, it also says, as far as eating meat goes, I would prefer you don't do it at all. But in times of extreme cold or hardship, you can eat it sparingly like that. If you tell Mormons that, and they go, well, yeah, it's there, but it's kind of fanatical. Being a vegetarian. But it's there, right there. Yeah. Okay. And what is Saturday? Tomorrow is Sunday program like that. Yeah. Many different programs like that. Actually, I'm Rishi Srinivas came here. Yeah. We have a nice PowerPoint show we did. It was a festival of inspiration. It's a very nice festival, like 5 years now in Vrindavan. And it's very inspiring, all your devotees presenting things. And they're not advertising it because they're overloaded for space like that, right? 700 to 800 devotees. And very nice. And they asked us to do something about JOP. They asked us to do something about JOP. So I made up a PowerPoint show. It was very hard, you know, kind of getting it all together for like, you know, 1 hour and
different people's necessities. And so finally we did, and it's called the Japa Tree, under the Japa Tree. And it was very nice. Everybody liked it very much. And we've refined it a little bit since then. And it's a PowerPoint show with music and like that. So I think in Srinivas's house on next Wednesday? Wednesday we'll show that there. Anybody else? Anybody topics? We can discuss a lot of things like that. Yeah. But again, this is a very nice book to start with. Yeah. Start chant Hare Krishna a little bit. You know, offer some food to Krishna. Read this and everything will become very clear. So Lord Chaitanya was traveling in the Jharikhanda forest, remembering Lord Ram and Sita, and was chanting this mantra. And it was so powerful that the deer and the bears came out, and the tigers, and they're all just chanting and roaring in ecstasy. The elephants, you know, roaring, roaring, roaring. And the monkeys were doing flips like that. It was all this ecstatic scene was going on. Balabhadra, when Brahma was with him, he was just amazed, you know, to see all these things happening. It's a very dangerous mantra. Be careful how you use this like that. It may create havoc in Micron if you start chanting this mantra like that. You know? And the tigers and the deer were kissing, you know, giving up their enmity like that. So very simple. The name of Krishna, Raksha Mam. What does that mean?
Protect me.
And Pahi Mam?
Save me.
Okay, yeah, it's very similar, but it's a little different, huh? Yeah, Raksha, really shelter, and like that. Right? And then Krishna's very fine hair, Keshava. And he's Raghava. Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Krishna,